time to get organized in your life. You may have heard that before or told yourself the very same thing, but where to start? Welcome to Let's Get Organized with Meryl Starr. Join us today as we focus on a part of your physical or emotional space that could use some help decluttering. Now, here's Meryl Starr.
Good morning, everyone. Ah, what a glorious, glorious morning it is. I've decided, actually, to take my show on the road, and I'm broadcasting from Boca Raton, Florida. And I have to say, it is about 80 degrees and just wonderful here. It was fun. Last week, I had somebody on from California that never talked about the weather. Me, I'm always thinking about the weather. So anyway, I'm so glad to be here, and I'm so glad that you're here listening. So thanks for tuning in to all those listeners. It's been so wonderful to know that all of you are tuning in and enjoying the show and writing in, and I really do appreciate that. Anyway, today's show is about fitness and exercise, and Anyway, have you been wanting to start an exercise program but haven't really had the time, just don't know where to start? Is it time for you to cross this off your to-do list already? You know, as we continue working on getting rid of negativity in our lives, today we will be looking at ways to decrease the clutter on our bodies. Exercise is a great place to start. Not only does it decrease the clutter, but it helps us to feel good about who we are. When we exercise, we release endorphins, and endorphins make us happy. There are many different types of exercise, but in today's conversation, we're going to be focusing on the benefits of weight training and aerobics. But before I start, I want to let you all know that I'm dedicating today's show to my sister-in-law, Ginger Sasson Drescher, who recently passed away from cancer that she fiercely fought for a year and a half. And one of the reasons for this dedication is not only because I love her, because she was a fitness guru. So we're going to celebrate her life, and I just want to share with you in a little while some of her beliefs on exercise and working out. She owned her own gym. She worked out every day. And when she passed, she was 65. She had a body of a 55-year-old. She was absolutely magnificent and such great, great shape. In fact, her last few weeks here, although she was mostly bedridden and filled with so much pain medication, because of her muscle mass and the strength of body, she just continued to amaze everyone of her doctor. She would get out of bed and walk around, and it was just amazing. And it was due to her strength, muscle mass. She was a woman, again, of great strength in her mind and her body. And we will miss present here forever and always. But I see that actually my brother, Stephen Drescher, and her husband is here. So I'm just going to pick him up right now. Hey, Dave.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, it's a glorious day here in Florida. And I just want to thank you so much for joining me this morning. I told everybody that I was dedicating this show to Ginger, and I wanted to take some time just to talk about you guys, to talk about her and what she did for you and the gym and a trainer, all that stuff.
Wow. Okay.
So I thank you for being here. But you know what? Let's start with, how did you guys meet?
Well, we were introduced through friends, and she walked up to me and handed me her card. And she was a trainer, and at the time, exercise physiologist, but she did training. And she said, "Well, when you're ready to get serious, please give me a call."
I love it.
Now, I remember this like it was really like it was yesterday, because I was living in Manhattan, and I, at the time, I guess I was I was wearing 33 waist jeans. And I had to go buy a pair of new jeans, and I couldn't fit in. I would have had to buy a 34. So I couldn't do it. I went directly home to my apartment, and I called Ginger, and I set up an appointment for her to start training.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as from there we became, you know, she trained me. We became best friends, lovers, and then got married. We were together for 18 years. For the last 15 years, I've been the same 31 waist.
Awesome.
So, it was, you know, quite a journey. She was a very focused and wonderful woman.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
She was very ahead of her time. She really, you know, she started training 30 some odd years ago. In fact, she opened her first gym 30 years ago. It was called Body Elite in Manhattan.
Body Elite, so
but,
cool.
Know, you know, those days, really, women didn't work out in gyms. They didn't work out weights. She continued that, you know, until to the time she passed. And it was really quite amazing. She was in such tremendous physical shape. Although she was, you know, she had this large tumor because of the cancer that was in her torso area. She was in so much pain, even though she was in that much pain. Physically, she was able to walk around and do so many things that the doctors were just totally amazed. They couldn't fathom that a person could be so sick. You know, the doctors, you know, some, the doctors would be calling her, you know, in an emergency visits, you know, like to see her, you know, this is urgent, and, you know, she'd be walking around, you know, so, and they would have to kind of explain to her, you know, to the doctors, because she, on the outside, she appeared to be in such good physical shape.
Right.
And that was so beautiful, really, and up to the moment she passed.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I remember that. I remember just, you know, seeing her and having to get out of bed and walk when we all knew that she was so completely, really weak and bedridden. And all of a sudden, she gets up and goes and walks to the bathroom, did what she had to do, and then walked back. And we were just all in amazement. And it was really due to the fact she was just so strong, not only in mind, of course, she's extremely strong, but her body was just so solid.
Yes.
So solid.
Yep.
And that's so important for people to know out there, because it's so important for us to work our bodies and to be in shape. I mean, you know, after seeing that and knowing her, it's a great drive just to say, hey, you know what? But this is so important for us.
Yeah, and it kept her not only, you know, physically strong, but mentally strong. You know, it's all connected, and it was that mental focus as well that she took with her and how she lived her life.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. So how was she as a trainer, you know, in the beginning? How was it for you?
Oh my God! I fell in love so quickly. It was, she was a beautiful woman, and
totally.
You know, she, you know, also, you know, she was, she loved to talk, and, you know, one of the things I think that is a wonderful thing for, you know, for couples to do is to train together, because you
right.
spend such good quality time not only doing something that's good for you, but you have opportunity to talk.
Yes.
Good, you know, quality time. And that was really the foundation of our relationship, and something
mm-hmm.
I'll really miss the most.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really such a good point. I'm so glad that you said that, because it is something that couples could do together, and the benefits are, you know, endless. It's great for your relationship. You're working out. You're getting in shape. You're together. You're talking. I mean, it's really something that you know, a couple could really consider, no matter what they're doing, no matter what the exercise is, whether you're working out or weightlifting or, you know, tennis or golf or whatever it is. It's definitely important. So that's a great point. So what else? What were some of the things that she believed in when we were, when, you know, working out? Is it just like, you know, okay, work out for a half hour and that's it, or work 3 days a week, or what was some, you know, what was like her philosophy?
She was, you know, really old school. You know, we did our, you know, cardio separately, you know, 20 minutes to 40 minutes of cardio, 3 to 5, you know, like, you know, 3 to 5 days a week, and
wow.
The same with weights, but separately.
Separate.
I worked the different body parts. She was, you know, you switch your body parts, and you know, it was all old school. She, you know, and it was very effective. And she, you know, not only did she completely transform my body, but I saw her, you know, in a very short period of time, transform many of her clients' bodies in 90 days, completely transform their bodies. It was really quite amazing to see and inspiring. She helped many people over the years.
Yeah,
she was a great inspiration.
So just to go back, so you would you do cardio on the same day that you lifted?
Sure.
Right.
You could, yeah.
Right.
You could.
Right.
But sometimes,
remember,
yeah, you could split it up, you know. It all depends, you know, on, you know, in diet was also, you know, obviously one of the most, you know, over 50% of working out or being in shape is diet. It's a very integral part, and she stressed that, and really, you know, she was a nutritionist. So the timing of your eating, you know, how often you eat and the types of food you eat, was a very, also something that you know, was part of our life. We ate a very.
See, that's interesting. Tell me about that. Like, as far as like what time you ate breakfast and what time you worked out. What was your daily?
Well,
regimen?
Over the years, it changed over the time. Over time,
right,
we did have different eating habits, and we liked different things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you know, it was oatmeal and egg whites and chicken and fish and brown rice, you know, I, to this day, that's pretty much my diet as well. But it's, I'm glad you had me on the show, but it is a, it's still very fresh, and it's very difficult for me to talk about. I miss her very much. Hello? Hello? Hello?
Could you use some more organization in your life? Sure, we all could. But where to start? In the home? At work?
Okay, I'm back on. Oh my goodness, that's so crazy. Okay, sorry about that, everybody out there. I don't know what happened, but let's see if we can get Steven just to to come back on in a couple of minutes. Let me take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Each week, you hear Meryl Starr give some great tips to getting organized on her radio show. But how can you find out more about Meryl and possibly use her organization services to your advantage? Visit MerylStarr.com. Meryl provides consultation to help you organize your personal space, your workspace, and your life space. Appointments are available by phone or by Skype. You can schedule your session at MerylStarr.com. Also, find out information about Meryl's books, available through Amazon. You need to get organized. Visit MerylStarr.com today.
Hello, everybody. Okay, well, that was a little crazy. That's the first time I've ever experienced going offline, but as we all know, that happens. So before Stephen calls back in, I just want to say, well, welcome back. And personally, I happen to love exercising, whether I'm walking in the streets of New York City or in Central Park, which, by the way, millions of people visit each year. It's an amazing place. There's just so much to see. Or whether I'm out on the golf course or riding my bike, like I did this morning, I find that when I'm out in the fresh air, burning calories, moving, releasing endorphins, it opens up my creativity and it releases any stresses and really totally helps me to stay in shape, which is important for all of us. So for me, you know, while I'm walking, not only am I exercising, but I'm decluttering and organizing my day, my thoughts, and my ideas. That's why we're here today, get rid of the clutter and to improve the quality of our lives. Okay, so he just tried, actually, but it didn't come through. Okay. So now this is my first technical difficulty. But anyway, before he does call in, which sure he's going to, I just want to go over some of the benefits that you can get from getting out there and getting moving, because it's so important for, you know, for all of us to know that exercise controls weight and it helps to decrease body clutter. Well, why not exercise if it's going to get rid of some of the clutter on your body? Exercise can help prevent a wide range of health problems. It boosts your good cholesterol and decreases unhealthy triglycerides, which is another wonderful benefit. Exercise improves your mood. Physical exercise, like I said before, releases endorphins. And as we know, when we are happier, our confidence increases, and so does our self-esteem. Exercise boosts energy. You know, regular exercise and physical activity deliver oxygen and nutrients to your tissues. They help your cardiovascular system work efficiently. And of course, when your heart and your lungs work more efficiently, you have more energy to go about your daily activities. Also, exercise promotes better sleep. They say that regular physical exercise can help you fall asleep faster and even deepen your sleep. Just don't exercise too close to the time. I've done that before, because you'll get so energized, you're going to have a hard time falling asleep. That's really an important one. You know, exercise puts the spark back into your sex life. Well, that's good enough reason right there. Not only will you feel good about your body, but regular physical exercise can lead to enhanced arousal for women. Well, that's a benefit right there. And men, it is said, who exercise regularly are less likely to have problems with erectile dysfunction. Exercise can be fun. It really can. He's back. Hold on. Hey, Steve. Hey. Steve? What happened? It's so funny that we're not we're just not getting on. I just don't understand.
This is Rico Marciano here.
Oh, Rico, hold on 1 second. I'm going to hang up with another call. Hold on 1 second. Hold on. Okay, sorry about that. I thought that that was Stephen, but I guess he wasn't able to call in. So no worries about that. Okay, let me just tell him that he doesn't have to worry about that. And we're going to finish up. But I do want to finish up by saying thank you so much to my brother for being here. I'm sure, you know, that was a little bit difficult, but he so loved Ginger and so believed in her, rightly so. She was just, again, an amazing woman. And I encourage you out there, all of you, to get into some kind of exercise weightlifting program because it's just so important for all of us. I'm going to take a quick couple of second break and then come back with my next guest.
Each week, you hear Meryl Starr give some great tips to getting organized on her radio show. But how can you find out more about Meryl and possibly use her organization services to your advantage? Visit MerylStarr.com. Meryl provides consultation to help you organize your personal space, your workspace, and your life space. Appointments are available by phone or by Skype. You can schedule your session at MerylStarr.com. Also, find out information about Meryl's books, available through Amazon. You need to get organized. Visit MerylStarr.com today.
Great. Well, good morning, Rico.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. I'm so glad to be here in Florida.
Yes, it's nice. The windows are open, the breeze is nice, and it's like a tropical paradise here today.
It's just unbelievable, and I wanted to thank you so much for being here this morning. I'm so excited for our conversation. And, you know, I wanted to tell everybody that the name of your company is Motivational Fitness, and you're located in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. That. And I just love the name Motivational Fitness because we all need to be motivated to get ourselves in shape. So that's first. And then I want to make sure to let everybody know that you've been on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and everybody knows that famous Body by Jake's TV show. Are you there with me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. You're breaking up just a little bit, but I can hear you fine. Yes, I've been all on all those shows.
It must be the connection here. I'm not really sure. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I sure can.
Oh, good. So I wanted to start out by talking, because I know that you're a certified physical fitness instructor, but you design motivational exercise programs for disabled athletes. Spinal cord injuries, traumatic brain injuries, neurological problems, cancer survivors, and that is just so unbelievably fabulous and inspirational. And I would love for you to talk about that.
Well, yeah, it was by hook or crook. I mean, it wasn't really a conscious choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, my background is physical education, is what I went to college for, health and physical education, and I ran the largest health club chain in the world for quite a few years. Then afterwards, I went out on my own to the mom and pop operations and helped them open up their clubs and do stuff. But it was when I went and ran a club called the Executive Club and / Futuristic Rehabilitation that I started working with the disabled. And it was funny because just like magic almost, I don't want people to think it's magical and that's
right.
All I throw money up in a dollar bill and it comes down 10,000. But really, everywhere people, I never knew there was that many people in wheelchairs in Palm Beach County. And they all seemed to come to the rehabilitation center. But when I went to the prototype of Gold's Gym, which is located in Palm Beach Gardens Promenade, What that, from there on out, forget it. I mean, all of the, it was the place to be in Palm Beach Gardens as far as the club went. Mm-hmm. And all of the reporters and the anchor people from ABC and NBC, all these people were all members of this club. So they had a firsthand chance to watch me work with people, and that's how the whole media thing started. And it just skyrocketed from there.
Unbelievable. Just fabulous. Just fabulous. And so you're still working, you know, in this capacity now. This is basically what you're doing. For how many years have you been working in capacity?
Well, I've been more years than I think about it sometimes. It sort of scares me when I think of how long I've been doing it. But I've been a health and fitness professional ever since I got out of college, which was 1977. So
right.
That's 36 years. And for the last 20 years, I've been not exclusively, but I've done tons of disabled people, including the National Wheelchair Veterans Games. I had a lady that I just got done training her about 10 minutes ago before I jumped on this interview. And
tell us about her.
Oh, she's wonderful. She got blown up during the Vietnam War. Weirdest thing, she was filling up her vehicle and at the fuel dump, and the guy fell asleep, and he had a cigarette. He dropped, I think it was like his lighter that he dropped, and it set the fuel dump on fire, and it blew up and threw her about 100 feet in the air, and she smashed against her vehicle, breaking four of her vertebrae. But mm-hmm. luckily, the blast, even though it did break her spine, but had she not had that blast push her so far away, she would have been burnt up in the fire just like the guy who started it. So
right. In
a way, she was lucky. They medvaced her back to Walter Reed Hospital right outside of Washington, D.C., and she spent 2 years there in the hospital.
Wow.
And her life was just, it was just a shame. She got married and the husband died of cancer, and her condition was getting worse every year, and everything just went bad in this poor lady's life. And in mm-hmm. her, I guess she turned 60, as I remember, when like right near her 60th birthday or just before, she came to me so depressed. But you mm-hmm. see, I could have easily patted her on the head and said, "Oh, you poor thing," but it wasn't a time for sympathy. It was a time for success.
Right.
So, and I browbeat her. I put her through the ringer. But as a result, she not only won 50 gold medals at the National Wheelchair Veterans Games all in 7 years, all over the world she traveled for that, but she also won the presidential gold medal from President Bush.
Wow.
So...
You helped to change her life.
Yes, I would say that's it. And today, now we're doing the exact opposite. Now she's about, I think she's 66, if I'm not mistaken. And now what I'm doing is I'm shredding her down. And so today, the poor thing, I said, "Yeah, we used to call you Beastly. Now we're going to start calling you Olive Oil." And I'm shredding her down, doing a program for. You know, to trim her down and get her, you know, more in a healthy way. She's been a long time that she has been, you know, since 1975, she's mm-hmm. been injured. So, you know, it's that's hard to come back from. But
right. When
you put your mind to anything, I always tell people, you change your attitude, you change your life.
Yes, so true. So true. Change your attitude and change your life. I love that, and it's really so true for people to hear that and to know that and to experience that, you know. There was another story that I read about. I just want to share this. It was about Chris, and you said Chris was a shy man, and he was born with cerebral palsy, which affected his brain and his body, and he was, I guess he was a baseball player, and he played baseball, and he loved the names of old songs, yet he suffered every day moving around, and even his thought patterns, he suffered. And he said, you said his only dream was to win the National Wheelchair Bodybuilding Championship. And it, you said a task for Chris, like most of us climbing Mount Everest. So it's almost an impossible dream. But you said, how could I tell him not to reach his dream? So after a brutal 9 months of training, nutrition, and testing, his limits, Chris was the national lightweight championship. And as the crowd roared, Chris hugged me and said it was the happiest day of his life. And then the last thing you said, the human spirit knows no boundaries. And that's just crazy, right, Rico? Just fabulous.
Well, the Chris story is definitely, I got to be perfectly frank with you, Chris story is in the book. I write about him, and it's even hard because it is so overwhelming for me to know that all the different things that had happened to Chris because of the effects of the cerebral palsy. I mean, they had to cut his Achilles. They had to there's all kinds of things they had to do for the spasms and the overtoneness, they call it. And it was just horrible what this poor guy went through. And he was as shy as a kitten, this kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in baseball, he didn't play baseball, but what he did, he knew everything about baseball, even though he had diminished capacities. If you told him to turn left or right, he might be confused. If you asked him what Carl Yastrzemski's batting average was in 63, he could give you everything about every player in the Red Sox, because that's where he was from. He was from Boston.
Amazing.
So, yeah, isn't it? And he knew every song. If you asked him who sings that song from whatever year, he'd know it. But if you asked him, okay, you got to turn to the left and do this, mm-hmm. he would be sort of lost, or could be lost. Let's put it this way, not always. But so this is what they're dealing with is unusual for any of your listeners here to understand, probably, unless they've dealt with people that have cerebral palsy. Or traumatic brain injuries, strokes, whatever, where their mind is affected, not just their bodies, but mm-hmm. their mind also. But yeah, he's a great kid. I love that kid.
Great, another.
I can't say enough good about him.
I'm sure he feels the same way as well as all the people that you work with on a daily basis. So let's just switch our gears a little bit, and I want to ask you, you know, why, in your opinion, is important for people of all ages, types, whatever, why should everybody get into physical, activity and fitness? What's your opinion there?
Well, there's, basically my opinions are all based on facts, and mm-hmm. the reason is that the human being is meant to move. It needs movement.
Right.
We're like land sharks.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that. A shark has to stay moving always in the water, right? Well, we're land sharks. We need to be moving. And so we need oxygen constantly. Think about it. We can go weeks without eating. We can go days without drinking. But
mm-hmm.
we go about a minute without oxygen, So that's
right. I never thought about that way. That's so interesting, and it's absolutely right. I love that. I love thinking about that, that, you know what, we all do, we need to keep moving, to stay alive, and we need oxygen, and that's perfect. True.
Well, when you see people that are sick,
mm-hmm.
usually there is a lack of movement. See, when you're walking, let's just say, for instance, let's give an example. You and your mom decide you want to start an exercise program, but, you're sort of, I don't know, I'm lazy, I don't feel like. Well, what
do,
you walk outside your door, you and mom have a bottle of water,
mm-hmm.
walk 5 minutes in one direction. That's it. Turn around, walk
mm-hmm.
back to your condo or your brownstone, whatever you live in. Now,
mm-hmm.
that may not seem like a lot, but when you do that, your whole internal organs are getting like a massaging effect, which is very important for a biological necessity, actually. You need
just
to get...
Just for being out there and walking a couple of minutes.
And then the next day, you add a minute to it.
Right.
You know, I had one of my guys, he got hit by a drunk driver with, by the way, 10 convictions prior. And he wound up being traumatic brain injury. He died 6 times, but it wasn't his time. And the blood was still there years later. They couldn't get all of his blood off the road where he got hit. Yeah, that was how much blood there was. So he was in a coma for almost a year. When he came out, he was just, you know, he was just bad, you know, everything. He was blind. He was deaf. He couldn't hear all of one ear. Well, I guess when he first came out, he couldn't hear all of either ear, and he couldn't speak. So there was just all kinds of, not only could he not move, but he couldn't communicate in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
So when they brought him to me, he was, by that time, he was still in the wheelchair, had serious spastic paralysis, and couldn't speak, couldn't hear all of one ear, but he could see at this time. So, and he couldn't, because of the spastic paralysis that he had, he could not use one half of his body, and the other half was weakened. So, again, what do you do with this? So I just made him do things. I never stopped with him. I didn't listen to his griping and complaining and, you know, outbursts and stuff like that, and he won another presidential award from President Clinton.
Wow.
So yeah, it was unbelievable. He's a story, and he was so consistent. Listen to this. He was consistent, being consistent and persistent. He was with me for 21 years.
Wow.
Monday through Friday, 11 a.m., never missed a day in all of those years. Never missed a day.
You were motivating him and making him feel good, and that's what exercise does. You were doing that. You gave a true gift. He was like addicted to it.
What happened was, when you start seeing results, even if it's a finger movement in their case, I know a lot of your listeners might not understand that, because most of them are probably able-bodied, but...
Right.
If you are there and you can't move any fingers and all of a sudden you move one, it's a major miracle.
That's your inspiration.
And there you go.
That's your inspiration.
Well, I always say, nothing succeeds like success.
Yes, love that.
If you think about that, it's always factual, like the snowball going down the hill.
Mm-hmm. So true. That is so true. True. So we're going to just move around a little bit, because I know that there are people out there that are listening that are not in an exercise program and they'd love to. So why don't we, could we give listeners maybe three things that they need to do before they could start, they need to start, you know, they start their exercise program?
Well, I think first of all, depending on their level of fitness. It all, look at it, there's always a beginning. Let's call it point A.
Okay.
All right? And let's draw a line on a graph. It's not point A to point B. It's point A to infinity, because we keep on getting better, whether you know it or not, at a slow rate or a fast rate. But if you're exercising, you're going to keep on getting better, whether it be how gradually or whatever, it depends on your level.
Right.
You start.
So that's a good thing to know.
So, yes, that's the first thing. You need to know the starting. So in other words, be realistic to yourself first. So if you're in a wheelchair, for instance, well then obviously you want to go to somebody like me, or maybe you want to check with your doctor or internist or neurologist, whatever it might be. I had all of them that worked with me. I have neurosurgeons, neurologists, neuropsychologists, who, by the way, is very important in a lot of these types of injuries. So you need to start off a certain place. So we have what we call a fitness quotient test, an FQ test. And what that does, it measures all the levels of fitness, upper body, lower body strength, cardiovascular endurance, muscular endurance, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And we know right off the bat, right where you are, here's your starting point. Every 30 days, we do another FQ test. And the overall score should get higher. But you
right.
look at the seven different things, right? When you look at that, you might be low on cardiovascular endurance, but high on upper body strength, for instance. Let's just use that as an example.
Right, right.
But what we want to do is not work on your strengths so much as work on your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where the improvement is needed, and that's what's going to raise your overall score every month. So that
right.
is the biggest thing that I feel is a tool. And the next thing would be a symmetry chart, which not most people don't have any clue how to do that. I'm a master at the symmetry charts, which is, okay, here you are. What's wrong with me, Rico? My bra fits perfect, but my pants don't.
Right.
Well, let's take a look at this. And we do this symmetry chart to make sure that you're, for instance, for a girl, the big muscle groups would be the chest,
mm-hmm.
the waist, and the hips. That's
mm-hmm.
your first three. Then your neck, your arm, and your calf. And so right off the bat, we know when we start doing this, we have an idea of where you need to work the most and why. Mostly it's from sedentary behavior patterns that happen.
Right. And I have another question, because I think that people would want to know this. When they start an exercise program, would you recommend just working out the entire body, or should people start by maybe just doing, you know, legs and arms on Mondays, and then two days later do, you know, chest? How what's your opinion on that?
Again, we're back to the level of fitness. What is
right.
the level of fitness of the person that comes to me? I've trained professional baseball players. Obviously, their level of fitness is a little higher than most, although, believe it or not, a lot of the people I train are as good a shape, if not better. But anyways, say you take a professional baseball player,
mm-hmm.
and he's fine. Well, what I would do is put him on a five-day-a-week program, and I would do different muscles every day. Different
mm-hmm.
programs that they, not necessarily just, you know, like a body part like you're saying. I may do muscular
right.
endurance one day. I may do body strength the next day. I might
okay.
do a what I call a cardio program the next day, which is brutal, by the way. And then the next day do another muscle weight training part, or do antagonistic muscle groups with them, depending on the person. It really does depend on the person's level of fitness, though.
Right, right. And it's so, you know, so important to realize that to be realistic, and that's really an important point that you mentioned. You know, you don't want to go out and think that you're going to be able to, to work out and run 5 miles right off the bat. You need to take it, you know, take it slow. So,
well, the truth is, the biggest, now here's a statistic, you're going to love this one. The Center for Disease Control in Atlanta sent me something one day about golf. Golf is the number one game for emergency room attendance. Because you got guys that are like...
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I'm a golfer.
Yeah, not diving, not football, but golf. And here's the reason. Think about it. You are an athlete. You played Little League Baseball or something, and now you're retired. You're 66 years old, and you said, oh, hey, I played Little League Baseball. I'm going to go out and do 18 holes. Well, here's what happens. First of all, golf has an abnormal swing to it. Okay? In other words, it's not conducive. Really, golf is not a very good game that's conducive to people that are out of shape, because when you swing a golf club, most people's feet stay solidified on the ground. They just sometimes, they pivot. Now, Gary Player, who was a famous golfer from South Africa, he was in my gym, and what he did, he told me, was he walked through the swing, meaning that's why his back, he never had problems with his back ever. And he exercised. No golf is exercise in those days or to this day. So he walked through the swing. But think about it. The guy's 66 years old. He hasn't done anything in 40 years. He goes out in the heat down here in Florida. You go out in the heat. You're walking around. You're not drinking enough water. You're out of shape. And you're in the sun and the heat. Well, you get dehydrated and you pass out. Or you swing the golf club and your back goes out, your L4, L5, L5S1, which is down the lower part of your spine. And that's a common injury because they're so out of shape. Again, we go back to the reality type. You got to be realistic when you do these things, you know?
Absolutely.
And it just by the way, I'm going to give you, this is a true example what happened. Not that the guy was totally fat or anything, but a guy came to me from Utah because he was down here on vacation. And right across the street, right here, I can see it right from my, across the waterway where I live here, a guy had a stroke on the golf course right across from me. Now, they came to me and they said, can you help my husband? He's pretty bad at the time, but of course I can help him. I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to run the 100-yard dash in the morning, but yes, I could help him. And they used to come here every year for 2 or 3 years. For 2 or 3 months just to have me work with them. And then they would go back and try to she'd walk with them when they were in Utah or whatever, and then come back here. So these are factual statements, you know, and you look it up and you'll see that that golf's tough on people because basically they're out of shape, they're older, and they haven't been living a healthy lifestyle.
Right. And I'm so glad that you're mentioning that, being down here in Florida and there's so many golfers, and actually I'm going to be teeing off in about an hour, but I've also been playing for a couple of years. But it's really great to mention. But, of course, our time is ticking here. We still do have some time, but I really want to talk about Chariots of Courage. Can you tell us about that?
Well, Chariots of Courage is a funny thing. I wish I obviously wrote it, but I had a guy from Manhattan come up to me. He was visiting in Florida at the gym, and I was working with a guy that was very disabled. It was his fault, actually, but no one else was hurt but him. And I was working with him in the front where there was nobody that could, because this is hard to work with this guy when there's a lot of people around. And I seen this man from Manhattan looking at me, and I'm thinking, what the hell is he looking at me for? So I went up to him, and he says, this is going to sound crazy, but my life is sort of like a fairy tale. And he said to me, I'd like to do a documentary on you and your work with the disabled.
Wow.
And so that's what we did. And it won 4 awards. It was about the triumphs and tragedies of the people in wheelchairs. And it won. I'm looking at 2 of the awards up on the wall right now. And I was so shocked because I just figured it was some little thing and not a big deal.
So
wonderful. But people love the stories of these guys, and it was very professionally done. I hired a great crew, and me and Paul produced it. I wrote it, and it went over real big.
That's great.
And
how can people see that? Is something they can purchase? Can they download? Could you tell everybody out there how they can get a hold of that?
Sure. Well, there's 2 things. First of all, I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal when we first did it, so we really didn't digitize it. We didn't do anything except for, you know, send it to the different film festivals that it won and stuff. And so just recently, like yourself now, a lot of people, since the book is coming out, a lot of people now are having an interest in the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So what I have to do, and it's amazing you asked that because I've done it this week, is I have contacted my editor, my film editor, and we are going to digitize it and then put it together in a package deal with the book when it's launched.
Oh,
so
that is fabulous. Now, so since we can't get that, let's let people know where can they find you online? Can they email you? Let's give your information out there so they can get to
you. Here's the story. You can email me anytime you want to, RicoWorldwide rico.worldwide@aol.com.
rico.worldwide@aol.com.
That's my email address. You can find me and look, then, you know, to your heart's content on LinkedIn. It's a pretty extensive business site. Most people, if they've heard of LinkedIn, it's a great site. So you can find me there, and you can see everything, basically everything that you and I have talked about here and more is on the LinkedIn site. And I think it will be very informative, if nothing else, for somebody to read that. I think that's something that if I was a listener, I would want to read that.
Excellent. Great. So now,
I mean, they can call me if they want to. I don't mind them calling me if they want to call me and ask me a question. I would prefer an email first, and then if they want to, just because of you, all they got to do is just say that they was on your show, they heard about us on the show, and I won't charge them a dime for giving them a free advice on whatever it is they might have. But just they have to mention your show, and I would like an email first.
Right. Okay. Fabulous. Thanks for all the information. Now, you know what? I just want to thank you so much for being here, because you're absolutely wonderful, and you're changing people's lives, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing that you're doing. So thank you. I have a couple of fun, like, true or false things that I hope you don't mind if maybe we could just kind of go over so our listeners, make things a little clearer for our listeners.
Like, I'm here.
Muscle weighs more than fat. True or
Well, that's false. But here's the story. Muscle doesn't weigh more than fat. A pound of fat and a pound of muscle is a pound, right?
It's the same thing.
But the thing is, if you was to look, now think about it, a pound of fat and a pound of muscle, obviously it's a pound, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you was to look at fat, the pound of fat, which I have at the gym,
right.
5 pounds of fat, 5 pounds of muscle, you'd die, because the fat takes up more space, more volume than the muscle. So, for instance, let's give it a true example. I had a lady.
Right.
She was she ran a the health food store, and she owns like 20 of them now. And so she came to me. She went down 3 dress sizes, but only lost 5 pounds.
Unbelievable, because she decreased her fat, and it actually the muscle.
Well, what happened is she increased her muscle tone and decreased the fat. Yeah, and then. And she looks absolutely phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
That's the closest I ever come to wanting to get married again. Jeez. I mean, she was just unbelievable. And so I always make it a habit when women get, I say, if you get down the inches, what we've said over here, I'll buy you whatever you want, a type of dress you want. If you hit numbers. Do you realize I've only had 2 spaghetti straps I've had to buy in all those years? She was one of them.
I love that. That is great. And it's, you know, it's an interesting point. I'm glad we talked about that, because you don't really realize that. You know, that's why it's so important for us to build muscle, and all of us to get into weight training. It's just something that we need to incorporate into our lives and stick to it.
It's about establishing habitual patterns. See,
get into the habit.
Absolutely. Exactly. You are, no matter what you do, remember, no matter which way you go, you're developing a pattern. You're either staying home and doing nothing, and that's your pattern, or you are coming in and achieving, and that's your pattern. So we call this positive movement patterns and thought patterns also, if you think about it. So that's what you got to do. You develop it. It's not done. You know, exercise is something that you need to change your lifestyle. It's not about the exercising. It's the lifestyle. It's the thought patterns. And you need to develop that. And if you don't believe that, then you're living in a fairy tale world. That's it. Period. Bing, bang, boom. Done.
It's so true. And on that note, Rico, I want to thank you again for being here. It was absolutely wonderful having this conversation. And thank you for all the tips and ideas ideas and suggestions. And again, if people would like to get in touch with you, RicoWorldwide@AOL.com, or you can get in touch with him on LinkedIn. So thank you. Thank you so much for being here, Go.
Remember, it's all about the audience out there. It's all about you, the audience, the listeners, and we're
absolutely
here to help.
Absolutely. You're greatest. Thank you. I hope to talk to
you
real soon.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, what a great show that was. I want to thank Rico for being here and my brother for sharing all his thoughts and ideas. It was really a good show, and I think that it's important for us to realize that it's never too late to get into shape. It's important for all of us out there. So for more information, if you would like to continue this conversation, of course, you can go to my website, mailstar.com. And I want you to realize, before you get rid of the clutter and the negativity in your thoughts, actions, homes, minds, and bodies, once you do that, you're creating a better day, a better experience, and a better life for yourself. And of course, we all know that sharing and supporting one another is what we all need to do. So if you know someone that could benefit from this week's or any week's show, it is available on my Blog Talk Radio homepage at any time. If you're ready to start decluttering and organizing your life, my books are available. The Home Organizing Workbook and the Personal Organizing Workbook are available on my website, merylstar.com, as well as Amazon. It is my goal, as always, to inspire you and challenge you to make positive changes in your lives. Tune in each week as I focus on real issues with real people and real experience. Do you want to experience a permanent shift in your life? Well, keep listening. Until next week, keep it simple.